Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. We read from St. Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In this sermon, Jesus describes the life of a saint. The words I just read to you are the introduction to the first sermon Jesus ever preached, and they are known as the Beatitudes. They describe the life of a saint. We're used to using the word Christian, but the Bible uses the word saint to refer to what we call a Christian. But then over the years, the word saint changed its meaning to refer to a particularly impressive Christian who stands out from the crowd. But if we let Jesus describe a saint for us, then we'll learn that a saint is really quite ordinary looking. Saints don't look like much. But then it all depends on who's doing the looking. A saint is a Christian. The word saint means holy person. We confess in the creed, I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. I believe what I cannot see. I don't see the holiness of the saints. I must take that on faith. Faith relies on God's word. To be holy is to be completely without sin and to be separated from sin. So, strictly speaking, God only is holy. As we sing, Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord. God is sinless and hates sin, and this means he can't tolerate sinners. But the Bible says that God loves sinners. How can he love sinners while they are sinners? He can love them in and through Christ. St. John, who wrote the Revelation of St. John, describes how the saints washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's how a sinner becomes a saint. Christ's blood shed on Calvary washes away all sins of all sinners. Then God gives that forgiveness of sins in holy baptism, and we receive the forgiveness of sins through faith. When St. John saw Jesus dead, the soldier pierced his side. Out of his side came water and blood. He saw that water and blood, and that signified that God washes away sins in the blood of Jesus that is joined to the blood, the water of holy baptism. Water and blood go together, so we wash our robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Christians are those who believe and are baptized, and they do as they are. Saints do as saints are. God says what we are. He says we're holy. Then he gives us a life to live, and it's a blessed life. He tells us what is blessed and what is not. We listen to the one who has made us holy. Who better would know what the life of a saint is than the one from whom we have received our sainthood? Or should we listen to the fallen and dying world for instructions on how to live a Christian life? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can be poor or you can be rich. It makes no difference. Poor people are not more virtuous than rich people. Rich people are not more blessed than poor people. Jesus says that those who are poor in spirit are blessed. They can be poor, they can be rich. In either event, they don't put their confidence in the things that they own or don't own, but in the one who will provide for their every need of body and soul. The poor in spirit are not poor. Because a flush bank account, an expensive car, a big and beautiful house, and the financial security that go with it are all fragile, temporary, ultimately deceptive when we put our trust in them. They are here today and gone tomorrow. The kingdom of heaven is forever. The saints, the poor in spirit, have a kingdom in heaven. It is where God himself lives. Those who belong to it live under God's grace, safe in his care, secure in his love. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's this bogus notion promoted by self-appointed piety experts that says a Christian must always be joyful and happy. If you're not full of joy, there must be something wrong with your faith. Nonsense. Jesus says otherwise. Blessed are those who mourn. It's not a sin to be sad. As a matter of fact, to be sad about your own sin is an essential part of repentance and faith. How can anyone trust in Jesus if he is happy about what he has done against God and neighbor? No, to mourn your sins is a good thing. And not just to mourn your own sins, but to mourn the evil that surrounds us wherever we go. A saint is saddened by the sin in this world. Saints don't rejoice in evil, but in the truth. To be saddened by sin is no sin. To suffer grief when we lose money or position or someone we love is no sin. It's at times in the life of the saint that he must mourn, and God comforts his saints. The gospel teaches us that all sin will be uprooted and all evil be overthrown and all the miserable results of sin will be eradicated forever. We put our hope in the kingdom God has prepared for us, and God comforts us in this hope. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Here our Lord asserts what is quite obviously contrary to sight, experience, and common sense. So don't put your faith in what you see or feel or in what makes sense to you. Listen to Jesus instead. The meek shall inherit the earth. Those who push themselves succeed for a while, but in time their strength and influence and attraction fade away and become nothing but a memory, if that. Those who appear to be in charge are not in charge. God is. God rules. The earth is his, and he rules it for the benefit of his saints. He governs everything for the sake of the communion of saints. One need not buy into one of the many forms of millennialism to believe this. Let God worry about how he will keep his promises. Jesus promises his saints here that if they suffer the indignity, put up with the injustice, do not insist on vindication or retribution, they will not lose, they will win. They will inherit the earth. God will do what he promises to do in his own way and in his own time. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The saint wants to do good, not just well, but good. Doing well is performing, succeeding, achieving. The saint cares more about doing good. Indeed, he hungers for it. He thirsts for it. The saint has the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself reckoned to him, credited to his account, covering him and making him righteous before God. He wants to do what he is. Since God says he is righteous, he hungers and thirsts for righteousness in all that he does. God satisfies his hunger and thirst by forgiving him his sins and filling him with the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. From receiving forgiveness and the Holy Spirit, the saints receive a merciful heart. They receive mercy, they give it. They receive it, they give it. And so their lives are defined. Kindness breeds kindness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The word of God makes the heart pure, as Jesus prayed, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, and the word of God reveals God. So the pure in heart see God in his word. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. God makes peace with us. He establishes peace by means of the cross, where Jesus took upon himself the enmity that existed between God and sinful humanity and removed it. Establishing peace at the cross, bringing that peace to us in the gospel, we have the peace that the world cannot give. It fills us and transforms us so that we set out to make peace with those who war against us. Jesus blessed those who cursed him, so do his saints. Jesus is the eternally begotten Son of God. We are sons of God by adoption through faith. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It is to be expected that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be persecuted for their desire to seek and promote what is good. There's a cynical saying, no good deed will go unpunished. That's quite true. What is good will be opposed. This means that those who do good will be persecuted for it. Count on it. But we don't expect approval from the world. We expect approval from God, and that is far more precious because God's opinion is the only one that really counts. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the saints. That is not only their future inheritance, it is their present possession. They have Christ, Jesus, who loved everyone, is hated and despised. Oh, folks won't admit that this is so because most of the persecution of Jesus looks like more like persecution of Christians, but don't be fooled. They are the same thing. Jesus said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We teach that the standards of right and wrong that are revealed in the Holy Scriptures do not change with time, and that the contrary views of the popular culture are corrupt and immoral. We teach that everyone is a sinner and needs a Savior. We teach that Jesus alone has done the good deeds by which we can enter into eternal life, and that our good deeds cannot help to save us. We teach that there is no eternal life apart from faith in Christ. We teach that this faith is not a human choice, but a divine work, and that God works faith only through his means of grace, the pure gospel, and sacraments of Christ. When we teach such things, we will face opposition, even persecution. Oh, not of the overt political or legal variety that you see under communism or some Muslim country, no, but of a more subtle social kind that ostracizes Christians because they refuse to go along with the crowd. And when folks misrepresent what we believe, judge our motives as Christians, tell outright lies about us, what do? We rejoice that God would permit us, his holy people, to be treated as his dear Son, our Lord Jesus, was treated. We rejoice and are filled with happiness to know that we would be counted worthy to join our Lord Jesus in being persecuted with him. For we know that what matters in life is the promise that awaits us in heaven. Nothing of value remains but the Word of God that lives and endures forever. This is something every saint knows, because we know we gain our sainthood, our righteousness, our true and lasting status from the Word of God that pronounces us forgiven of all our sins for Christ's sake. It is by the measurement of God's Word, therefore, that we measure the lives of those saints who have gone before and treasure the good that God did for us through them. We treasure more than dying memories. We treasure with them the kingdom that is ours from him who blesses us here on earth and will bring us to our reward in heaven. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. And we invite you to tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast. Come and visit us at one of our congregations at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. Divine service Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. Divine service Sunday morning at 10:15. And Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. Divine service Sunday morning at 11:45. Check us out on the World Wide Web, www.christforus.org. See you next week.